right now.
Lucas is on vacation, but the very talented Craig Havinghurst fills in for some big shoes.
So I guess I'll just give you some money and you can give me these shoes and...
You know, I know, it seems so strange.
Yeah, so I'd just rather buy them from you straight up.
Yeah, I know, I wish it could be that easy, but...
I wish too, but you're making it extremely difficult for me. I'm just trying to get these shoes back to my house so I can wear them.
We're also joined by Todd Featherling and Katie Kirby from the Nashville Technology Council, sharing what's on the council's calendar for the next few months. And as always, we end up discussing music, entrepreneurship, and tech. It is Nashville, of course. All that and more in episode number 24 of the Nashville Tech Feed.
To the Batmobile.
Just like a crazy person.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
You're excited. Feel these nipples.
You have some mighty interesting people online.
No! Turn it on! Turn it back on!
Welcome to episode 24 of the Nashville Tech Feed. I'm David Baranja, your host this evening, and this is a show that jumps into the tech news from Nashville, and that affects Music City. Everything you need to know about the show is at NashvilleTechFeed.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 615-280-0505. This week, we are focusing on the Nashville Tech Council and what new they have coming up on their calendar, and big news, I hope. But first, joining me, filling in for the mighty Lucas Hendrickson, is Craig Havinghurst, a founder of String Theory Media, co-host of Music City Roots Live from the Loveless Cafe on WSM, a music journalist and music documentary producer, and author of Air Castle of the South, WSM, and The Making of Music City. Welcome, Craig, and thank you for co-hosting.
Thanks a lot. I can't fill Lucas's rather large shoes, but I'll do what I can.
I hope he listens to this show so he understands what it's like to be on the other side. You out there? Leave a voicemail, Lucas. Before we dive into this episode, let's introduce the rest of our panel. And we're very, very fortunate to have two people from the Nashville Technology Council. First one is Todd Featherling. He is a president and CEO of the Nashville Tech Council. He's also a member of the 2010 and 2011 Leadership Music Class. And he goes by JTOD Work on Twitter. Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you tonight, Dave?
I'm doing good. Did I introduce you okay?
That was awesome.
I'm glad I can. I'm glad I don't have to do any post editing.
And native Nashvillean. So
yes, that is a rare breed. When I first moved down here about 11 years ago, it took me about 2 years to count on my fingers and toes Nashville natives. And after I made that mark, I just stopped counting. The final person on our fantastic panel tonight is an old friend of mine, not old, but old friend of mine, is Katie Kirby. She is the product director on the Nashville Tech Council, and her Twitter handle is Kate SUZAC, and you can find her at katiekirby.net. How you doing, Katie?
Good. I like to make things difficult for people so you know that they can't find me easily on the internet.
Well, I literally have like 3 or 4 documents up in front of me, and I'm just kind of clicking through them, and hopefully my computer doesn't crash before the end of the show.
It's Kat Suzak. It's like a combination of my name. It's my AOL handle.
Well, you never told me that. Well, now we know. Everybody out there, you can call her by Kat Suzak. So diving into the news right away, we are dedicating the entire show to the Tech Council and really the things that are going on around you guys. So first topic is kind of really upcoming events and new products you guys got coming out. So Todd, why don't you fill us in on what you guys got going in that aspect?
Well, great. Probably the most exciting project we're working on right now is our updated Catalyst magazine. It's been 2 years since we produced this magazine, and it's really a feature coffee table type of piece focused on the Nashville technology community, everything from digital content, music, nanotechnology, Oak Ridge. So we're really trying to bring together all of the best from Middle Tennessee into this magazine.
Is it is it a traditional print piece, or have you guys considering other mediums like ebook or anything such as that?
We are. We're looking at several different components and options to take it out to the digital world, and then of course there will be a print version as well.
Excellent. So when do you guys plan on bringing that? I mean, when's the target launch date for something like that? Do you have something estimated or a firm date?
We do. We're hoping to have it ready for our Nashville Technology Awards, which will be October 28th. So it'll probably officially hit the streets the next day on the 29th, but everybody at the Tech Awards will get a sneak preview.
Okay. It where's the Tech Awards held again? I'm sorry, I was reading. I apologize.
Oh, no problem. We're moving over to the Renaissance because of the flooding issues at the Skermerhorn, mm-hmm. but we'll be back at the Skermerhorn in 2011.
Okay. Craig, what was the damage? You knew that to the Skermerhorn. Was it like $1.2 million?
Oh, Lord. It's approaching $50 million in damage.
50?
Wow. Yeah, it's about a third, more than a third the price of the building itself. It was every mechanical system, every electronic system, every electrical system, the very expensive blower system in the basement was where all the brain and nerve center of the building was, and they are hoping to be ready by the turn of the year, but it's been harder than they thought.
Where are they playing right now until?
It's a show-by-show basis. You should check nationalsymphony.org to find out. They have been at several different venues, and they are making it up as they go along. They're doing a great job, though.
Excellent. So, Todd, the next topic is Naked Hospital and Transparency and eHealth. The first word caught me, and I couldn't go any further. I'm like, well, hello there.
Well, it's those robes that they give you in the hospital, and they were so ineffective, they decided to just ditch them.
That's part of the concept, believe it or not. Naked Hospital, transparency has become such a huge issue in healthcare. Many hospitals and almost all physicians don't report their quality indicators. There's been some effort by the government and other watchdog groups to initiate this, but we thought it was a pretty important topic to take on and bring to light what types of activities are going on from a transparency perspective. And then that obviously leads right into electronic health, because in order to be able to report and track and measure this information from an analytics perspective, some heavy-duty HIT types of activities need to occur first.
Okay. No.
Can I follow up on that one?
By all means.
Because this is my former beat years ago, and I got to say that there was immense interest and talk about electronic medical records as a source of comparison shopping, cost control, better, following of best medical practices 20 years ago and 10 years ago. And it has been the most talked about and even done about thing in healthcare. And yet it still feels like one wonders, are we any closer now? It would seem like with the way the world is networked, the power of computers, that this would be something we'd have largely solved by now. And yet, where are we? And I guess that's maybe what this conference is aimed to answer, but it seems so frustrating. And then also I was reminded of this, how frustrating this issue is, the other day when I heard that Donald Berwick had been nominated to be the head of Medicare and Medicaid and was being held up by politics. And this is a guy who, when I was covering healthcare, was the absolutely most nonpartisan public servant, regarded widely as a brilliant person who had worked his tail off to make this world of, where quality and cost meets transparency. And yet we're still fighting, you know, and he's now the subject of he's a political football, and you still go and you call a new doctor, and you got to fill that form out from scratch again for the 10 millionth time. So it's like, speaking as a patient, where is this effort?
Well, you always knew how to ask great questions, Craig. And that's one of the problems between HIPAA, government violations, government regulation. It has really stalled out what I believe is to be innovation in the healthcare space. There are some great small-scale projects across the country that have gone beyond what most of us even believe can be done today by sharing information, having a single registration form for the entire community, whether you're going to a physician, a hospital, or home health, they all use the same form, portability from insurance and other things. So there are some examples of amazing progress. Unfortunately, 95% of us in America are not seeing those today. But it is one of those areas that I hope we get into at this conference. We certainly did last year. And I think the majority of the people that walked away had a better appreciation for what was going on in the area of transparency and e-health. But I share the frustration. I've been in healthcare for 20 years and in technology for the last 15. And I can tell you, I certainly thought we'd be at a different point in time today than where we had envisioned in 95.
Yeah.
But really isn't always that the case, because we... If you looked at the books of tomorrow, you know, from 50 years ago, again, I want my flying car. You know, I would say that a flying car is probably easier than the mix of all the medical records and the privacy and government to sort out. I think we'll see a flying car before we actually. And not to be pessimistic, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of. Uh-huh. I just kind of think that it. It's going to take a long time, and I think 20 years might be too long in our eyes, because life is short. But in the idea of the long term healthcare of the you know, country in general, I think we need to take the time to get it right.
Well, and you know, sort of depends on how you define right. So when I go into a physician's office, let's all get on one common shared registration application, so I don't have to fill it out six different times whenever I do have an emergency or have some type of healthcare incidents, right? We could tackle one registration database, and you know, I'm thinking like maybe we could just use eBay's registration database, and we'd have 3/4 of the population.
It's not a bad idea, or maybe iTunes. Well,
or iTunes, or you know, any number of consumer brands have more information than we do collectively in healthcare.
The what's the general thought on the Google Health Records Initiative? Has anybody embraced that, or is that still kind of like them going, you know, the lone wolf?
Cleveland Clinic has embraced it, and they're doing some very interesting things. That's one of the areas of the country that have some stuff going. We've got the Nashville Health Exchange going on here in Middle Tennessee as well, and Janet King will be giving us an update at the conference. Memphis has had a project in place a little longer than we have over here in Nashville, and there's also out in Oakland, California, of all places. They have, I think it's 6 or 8 hospitals and thousands of physicians that are all sharing a common medical record. So it can be done. The problem is really around what Craig said, it's the politics. So if you're a provider, a hospital provider, are you going to share your data and information with your competitor across the street?
Well, hopefully it'll get worked out. I mean, that's why you're doing these things, to move, inch the line a little bit forward, correct?
Exactly. And certainly the topic is, or the title is, very provocative, and we expect to have some interesting conversations.
Excellent. Well, let's move on to the next item in the calendar. The InfoSec, it's a security event?
Yeah, this is actually our 10th year for InfoSec. Last year, we had the largest regional ISSA meeting in the country. So it has continually grown. And I'm, you know, once again, not surprised on the healthcare side whenever we have all these leaders. But on the security front, I'm constantly amazed about how many security professionals we have here in Nashville that are doing work in D.C. and in New York City and other major cities that's coming out of Nashville.
Excellent. It seems like you guys have quite a few, I mean, like one or at least two events going every month that you guys seem to be quite busy.
We're trying to keep Katie on her toes.
Yeah, Katie, you're kind of quiet there. Did you want to input on the medical records, or are you good?
Who, me?
No, the other person named Katie on the podcast.
I didn't catch your response. What did you say?
We'll move right along. So the next thing on the list is the Catalyst magazine, October 29th.
Yep, and we talked a little bit about that earlier, and you know, the opportunity to really profile Nashville. When I first got here 2 years ago in this role, after selling a startup business, I really wanted to create a communication platform for the Tech Council so that we could really take our message out to the rest of the world. We've done that with programs like Techville and now Catalyst. So in a lot of regards, we are really trying to act like a platform to allow people to come in and have a voice in technology.
Excellent. And then now the Nashville Technology Awards, that's probably your big one of the year, correct? Or are they, is that?
Well, our largest event last year was actually the membership breakfast with Steve Ballmer. We're already working on January's membership breakfast and have at least one CEO already penciled in, which will yet to go name, but working on one other pretty big name in the tech industry.
Now, I have no word of this, so full disclosure ahead of time, I do not know, but I'm going to throw it there. Does the name start with what sounds like Eve Obbs?
Wow.
Well, you know, he's been spotted in Memphis for certain procedures. Now we're back on to the naked hospital already.
Eve Obbs. Naked does not sound... No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so do you have anything big planned for the Nashville Technology Awards, or pretty much your standard award show?
Well, I think folks need a little background on that. What is it, and who have been big winners?
Well, last year HCA was the big winner as Technology Company of the Year, and Knoll was the CIO of the Year. And we had 10 awards last year. This year, we've added two new ones into the roster. And probably the most exciting thing is we actually give out a guitar for our trophy.
Very cool. It's a real guitar.
Gibson.
Of course, it's a Gibson.
What are the new categories, by the way?
CTO and CSIO.
Mm-hmm. Acronyms for those out there that might know.
Chief Technology Officer and Chief Security Information Officer.
Excellent. So how many total awards do you hand out in the evening?
There'll be 12 this year.
12.
And the theme is Fill the Beat, which is our tagline. So there'll be lots of music and a few surprises for the evening.
Very cool. All right, moving on. The next item you have coming up is a symposium of Contingency Planners of Southeast.
Yeah, we went from the naked hospital, which is the easiest one, to this one. So this is really about disaster recovery, business continuity planning, and certainly with the flood that we experienced, we're really expecting to have a pretty interesting conference. This is the first time that we've done this conference, and we partnered up with ACP for this conference.
Excellent. I like the last or the next one, which is the holiday party.
Yeah, always a good time. We're trying to target Cabana again. We had a great turnout there last year, a little over 300 people. So it was a little shoulder to shoulder, but we may take up a little extra space in the restaurant this year.
Well, it's a good location to get good food there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then again, the membership breakfast in January, which you said was one of your bigger, one of the biggest events from last year.
Yeah, actually, I think it was the biggest event we've ever had at the Tech Council. There was a little over 800 people there, and we had that out at Trevecca. So we're looking for a place this year where we can do 800 to 1,000.
Now, was Steve Ballmer yelling, "Developers, developers, developers"?
You know, he was amazingly calm that day. He certainly gets pretty animated just when he speaks. I've had a couple of opportunities to meet with him over the past few years. I always refer to him as the Tasmanian devil because when he comes into a room, you feel his presence.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft's kind of an interesting topic. I'd probably want to dive in another time, but what I'd like to do is we've kind of finished our first segment, which is, you know, just going over what you guys got coming up and stuff like that. I'd like to put we do an ad in the middle here, so I'm gonna hold everybody off for a moment while I put my pitch out for the Nashville Tech Feed. Yes, this is an ad right now for you out there. We prefer, instead of pre-rolled ads, the standard. Well, the standard where you just kind of talk about what you want to tell or sell. We're looking to get a mixing board, and we need your help out there. If you like the Nashville Tech Feed and you want to help support us, a new mixing board that we're looking at and set up is about $200. If you go to the NashvilleTechFeed.com and right on the front page, there's a donation button. If you like the show and you want to help us out, $1, $5, $10, you give us $20, I'll say your name on the air. I mean, I will sell myself like that. And I'll say what you write down what you want me to say, and I will say it on the air within limits. So
I like that safe disclaimer, Dave.
Oh, trust me,
limits.
As the show gets along, we put more and more disclaimers in every episode. Wait till everybody, if you're listening, this is episode 23. There was a big disclaimer in the beginning, and Lucas. Got through it first time without a hitch. He's such a pro. So then this cry for help is NashvilleTechFeed.com. It's a PayPal donation. It's, you know, it's safe. You use PayPal probably at least once. And $1, $5, $10. And if you donate $20, write something in the receipt when you send it in, and we'll say it on the air within limits. So that is my sales
fair
pitch. What?
That's fair.
It's
sort
fair.
Of like this shout out to the guy who gave enough to buy a brick for the new, you know, library or something. I like it.
Yeah, we're trying that.
It's social.
Well, Leo Laporte from This Week in Tech has a donation, a tip jar. And he said, actually, on his on the air a couple of weeks or about a month ago, that he's pulling in $20,000 a month just with people donating money towards the show. It's a reoccurring cost. I'm not going to ask for that, but that's the only way that he pays himself, is from the donations to the website. Everything else goes back into the company. So
we can match that, Dave. I'm kidding.
Thanks, Katie. I appreciate it. You just gotta just come right in there and just get a zinger. Thank you. Moving on to our second part of the show, we're gonna just kind of go into a general discussion. And one of the previous episodes, we talked about the Nashville music. Is it Craig? Jump in here, please. Nashville,
yeah.
Music Council, correct?
The Nashville Music Council. Yes.
And it's a new organization, and really music touches technology nowadays. You can't get away from it. And, you know, we wanted to see what, from the Nashville Tech Council, kind of what your thoughts are, because you're all kind of in the same, it's all part of the chamber, correct, Todd?
We're all affiliated with the chamber in one way or another. Some of the organizations are their own separate 501c6s like ourselves, or a 501c3. So depending on how they're configured. But yes, we're all affiliates of the chamber, and the chamber's done a great job at sort of identifying key areas that the community needs to focus on and actually birthing a lot of those startups, including even the Sports Council.
Okay. How old is the Nashville Tech Council? I probably should have known that. Looking at relatively new website, correct?
New website, old organization, been around about 11 years.
And having had that 10-year head start on the Nashville Music Council, what advice would you give them? What mistakes would you urge them to avoid making, and how limited should their mission be to be effective?
Well, I think they've done a good job on their planning. I think they took some time to announce and make sure they had their plan and mission correct. And so I give them lots of kudos for that. Really, when you look, what advice I'd give them is sustainability. The most important thing is that the council gets started and self-sustain itself, so that when we're here, 10 years from now, we'll look back at all the wonderful accomplishments that they've done and hopefully see a very robust and growing industry.
And do you think that good things come when local industries pull their leaders together and put them in forums there's a limit, of course, as to what you can talk about, especially technology, which is a place where proprietary ideas really, really matter. They're what gives you your edge. So one wonders, how much I've often thought that the music business talks to itself too much, that they're all keeping each other in a sort of check by creating a kind of conventional wisdom. And in technology, if you had that happen, we wouldn't get as much innovation. And technology thrives on independent spirits and people who go off trotting down roads on their own. So how do you guys kind of craft that balance? What wants to be shared and versus what wants to stay private and innovative?
Well, and I probably disagree with you just a little bit, Craig, from a tech perspective, because what I've seen in the community is because we do serve so many different industries, that there are unique things going on in healthcare, music, the transaction industry here in town, publishing, food distribution, warehousing, analytics. So there's often an opportunity for multiple people, certainly at the board and even at conferences, to talk about what they're doing and share that innovation in a particular industry segment without really giving too much away. Even in healthcare, you go from hospitals to physicians to ancillaries like AmSurge on the surgery center side and those kinds of things. So the music industry, though, I do think is maybe a little bit unique in that in years past, it's been dominated by the record labels themselves as sort of the big dogs on the block, even though there were some other really interesting things going on further down the food chain. So I think the challenge for the music industry is to get more of those things that were down at the bottom of the food chain elevated up and give them a place at the table to talk about their contributions.
Right. That's really interesting. Do you think this relates to the other big music question I had to ask you guys? It has to do with Echo. We have this very innovative company started up right here in Nashville, and they got so successful that they got acquired by Ticketmaster and, in essence, went away. They not only didn't become a local company, they really don't exist anymore at all. Some of their ideas, I think, are being nested within a much bigger, one of the biggest companies in music right now. But I always felt like that was like a case where Nashville really had something, put something on the map, planted a flag, and then because of the natural tendency of companies to consolidate, especially in tech, we kind of lost that, really cutting edge company. Do you see that happening elsewhere? Is that a perennial danger? How do we keep our most successful innovative companies locally owned, locally autonomous?
Well, that is a really good question. I'm actually excited about it because what's happened that I've seen is 4 or 5 unique startups that came out of the Echo Group from their executive management team.
Yeah.
You know, Mark put together a great team of true leaders, and they're out doing their own thing now in several regards, like Rock House Partners and those folks. So if you look at healthcare and the genesis of the healthcare industry in Nashville, it really started with HCA by buying and selling and morphing and going public and going private. And every time one of those transactions happened, those people spun off and started multiple new companies and new innovations. So I guess I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I think it's really the challenge of us to be willing to spin those executives that come out of successful companies mm-hmm. into their next venture and have enough capital support here, because the original funding, I believe, from Echo came from out of town. We could get Mark Montgomery to call in and let us know if I'm correct on that. But with Tennessee Invesco money here now, at least some of the liquidity is freed up. And, I mean, I think we have a pretty interesting opportunity to mix the technology, creative culture, and music all together in this town, unlike any other city in the country.
Craig, one thing to consider with the Echo situation is they really had grown to a size where they really couldn't service anybody but the major artists.
Yep.
And I think that pigeonholed them to a point where they needed to either get bought up and go with a company that could effectively turn down everybody else except for the biggies of the big. And I know a few people that spun off from Echo that, very much like Todd had said, like my friend Pinky Gonzalez. He's spun off and he's doing, I believe he's doing investing in entrepreneurs, or correct? Todd, you know Pinky.
Yeah, absolutely. And working with him as well on Jumpstart Foundry, a new micro fund that we started here in Nashville to help these kind of very ideas go from zero to 60 in 90 days. And folks, you've had Marcus on previous shows, Nick Holland, quite a few folks from both the music and tech industry in that. So we're actually looking for those kinds of music and digital types of opportunities in tech to come together, and hopefully we can get them some money.
I've often thought that if Nashville could have one or two examples of a national scale leading music or entertainment tech company, a Pandora or something, that it would change perceptions of the city so profoundly that we would add that to the city's obvious worldwide reputation as a creative center, a place where you'll find songwriting and publishing and recording and musicians, and the complete the complete dossier of Music City really does need to have some of those tech businesses that are nationally known, I think.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Craig, and that's what our focus is trying to grow that tech community. The Entrepreneur Center, which is up and running as well now, we should get Michael Burcham on this show at some point, is all focused around that, and that's exactly what we have to do to continue to attract talent. We have 892 open tech jobs right now.
Wow. Is there a shortage of people with skills here?
Yes.
Actually, I've heard that as well.
We're trying to bring them in, recruit them in from other cities. At the same time, we've got a professional development series to help focus on skill development, reengineering of the workforce. If you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, healthcare and technology are the two fastest growing job segments and the highest salaries over the next 10 years.
Katie, question for you.
Yeah. It would be good if you asked me a question.
you're also quiet there, and then I heard your cat going against the microphone. Was that correct?
Awesome.
I figured that what it was. So you've been very quiet, but so what is how does your role fit in with the tech council, with all these different things, including taking your knowledge of the music industry? Because, again, everything we do touches music and really technology in this town. What is kind of your role in all that at the council?
Well, I know that, you know, reaching out to the music community is a huge initiative for us. I mean, we have several initiatives, but the creation of the Music Council and Todd's involvement with Leadership in Music just goes to show basically our intention of reaching out to that industry more. And your conversation about Echo is very interesting to me. I think everybody has different perspectives on that acquisition and the dissolving of that company. I personally, again, I think we agree about this, see it as a very positive thing, because the talent that was cultivated here has really had a positive effect on the community. And we're definitely about, you know, continuing with that. I just see Nashville as being this huge music technology incubator. That's the future that I see. I have a very positive outlook on it. Maybe that's a little Pollyanna of me, but so anyway, getting back to your question, it is like a big, just because of my background in the music industry and working for Live Nation and having all of that perspective, that is a big part of my job, amongst many other things.
Now, were you involved with Digital Nashville as well?
I was. I was one of the people that helped get that organization off the ground.
So, in relation to the Nashville Tech Council, what's can I deviate for a moment, and can we talk about Digital Nashville and kind of what's it been up with?
You know, I haven't been deeply involved with Digital Nashville in a while. I think that they're a really great organization. They've got some great initiatives going on, and that's definitely a group amongst many other groups that we want to partner with in Nashville. I think that, you know, one of the things we want to communicate to the community is that the Technology Council is here to, as our mission statement says, help the technology community succeed. And that's a very broad mission statement, but when you get down to all of our different programmings and basically who we are a platform to help the tech community communicate. And there are all these great little, not little groups, but great groups that speak to different parts of the technology community, and that's Digital Nashville, it's BarCamp and PodCamp. And so we're here to help everybody get off the ground. So I see like a future of more collaboration with those organizations. Go ahead.
Is there any sort of gulf between the young tech crowd in Nashville and an older tech crowd who are kind of the CIO and CTO class?
You know, I think so, but I've seen it change a whole lot since I've really gotten involved in this community. I know that some of us feel like we're in this echo chamber and we're kind of talking about certain things like the state of the music industry and transparency in healthcare, and we feel like things aren't really changing. But they are. I think I've been so lucky in that I've been able to peek behind the curtain with different groups such as Digital Nashville and now with the Tech Council. And you know, quite interestingly, I've come in and actually looked at Todd's briefing, his plan that he put together for the board when he first started. And just to look at that and think about conversations we had and things with Digital Nashville, and I see so much change, so much positive change. I really think that gap has been bridged a whole lot. And it's necessary. I mean, for all the things we're talking about, for basically helping this entrepreneurial community incubate, for lack of better words, since I already used that a little bit more, it's definitely happening. Take my word for it.
Do you... I'm going to throw something out there that I heard through the grapevine that, and I don't know if everybody on the panel has heard this or not, but actually Digital Nashville has had kind of a drop in some of their events of attendance. And I'm just wondering, so if this is a drop, if there's a drop going on, do you think people are getting burned out by so many things going on, or... do you think it's Digital Nashville kind of had its wave and now it's kind of settling down to an even scale of the people that are involved with it on a regular basis, kind of like with any organization out there.
Well, I you know, I've been trying to study this from all across the community, and you know, I think the flood really took a lot more out of the community than most people realize. Most people I know struggled to get through May because they were either volunteering or they had their own problems, and they're still fixing their own problems. So I think it's more summer came upon us, and there's just been a little lag. I think this fall is going to be one of the more exciting times ever in the city. So hopefully, whether it's Digital Nashville, the Technology Council, WIT, AMA, we've got so many great organizations, Music Council. I think you're going to see a lot more people come out this fall than what we've seen the last 4 or 5 months.
Definitely if it's a lot cooler outside.
Amen.
I really think people are tired of the heat. I think they're just staying inside.
Well, so far we've had twice the number of days over 90 than we have in an average summer, so there's probably a lot to that.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Well, that kind of wraps up our... What?
Oh, I just had a little comment. I remember hearing a while back somebody talking about saturation in our community, but when you think about it, I think it's a wonderful positive sign that we have so many groups and so many things going on. I can't tell you, just in the 3 short years that I've been here, how much I've seen the technology community grow. It's excellent. And yes, maybe there's some minor drops here and there, and some of it may be due to the time of year it is or different events beyond our control. But I mean, you have to admit, like, the landscape for us as an overall community, it's very wide-reaching. It's very different, and I think it's going in a really positive direction.
Can I put this question to both of you? That may be true locally. What's going on in terms of the nation's perception of Nashville as a technology center? And does that relate to the sense that we have these unfilled jobs and you know, certain shortages of certain kinds of talents? You know, I got to figure that if people still have a hard time thinking of Nashville as a place that makes other kinds of music than country, that they may even have a harder time thinking of Nashville as a place where there are great tech jobs to be had.
Well, the fact is we do have a lot of great tech jobs. As a developer, I talked to several developers, and their biggest fear about coming to Nashville is coming here for one job and not knowing if they've got another place to go if that doesn't work out. Well, we sort of put that to bed with the number of companies and the number of headquarters that we have here. I really do think it's a perception thing. Plus, Nashville's not unique in its open jobs in the IT sector right now. Whether you're in Seattle, Boston, or Austin, the demand for talented programmers, business analytics is growing, not shrinking. And if you look at nationwide, the college education trends are really what's causing the problem. Less kids are going into college today than we did 5 and 10 years ago. So we're starting to feel that pinch in the community.
Well, and I also think, and this is just me personally, I tell people this story. This is my big customer. I'm a huge Nashville fan. But if you would have told me when I was 25 years old, oh, someday you're going to live in Nashville, I would have told you you're crazy. Because The idea in my head of what Nashville was is very different than really what it is. And we need to do a better job of telling our story. I think all of us agree, like, what a great city this is, great amount of opportunity. It's just getting that right message out to the rest of the world. And personally, I don't feel like we do a good job of telling that story.
Well, it seems like the dominant industry is country music, which has the global stage. And for all the pain and contraction that some parts of the music industry have, pretty much I think everybody still thinks of Nashville as twang town at country music. And that's it, while there's bluegrass, there's a good rock scene, there's a good rap scene, amazing, along with the other major industries like the medical and other technology firms such as Echo Music. Well, wait, they're gone. but
I think the key word there is seems, and I think that seems is definitely shifting. I mean, I think the last 5 years have been kind of a revolution. Certainly, I think we've hit a tipping point on the music front for genres and stuff like that. Whether people know that there is security technology here remains an open question, and some of the other sectors that that Todd talked about. It's interesting stuff.
I think, again, it's a cultural translation, too. You know, people want to know that they can move somewhere, and not only can they have their job needs, but their family needs, their educational needs, their cultural needs fulfilled. And we need to attack the issues. Like, if we have weak issues, you know, in education, we need to attack those. If we just need to do a better job at talking about what a cool city we are, we need to do that because we are a cool city.
If we could all brand together, all these organizations and programs like yours and editorial columns like Craig's, when you build a company brand, you start with the employees. When you build a city brand, we got to start with the people who live here. And to have everybody on this network just listen to this show, tell somebody else that there are lots of jobs in Nashville, move to the city, would go a long way.
Well, I don't know. We only have 4 listeners.
Oh.
According to our audience polls.
Now you tell them.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm one of them.
Oh, well, then we have 5 now. Thank you. yeah, that's a running joke. We always we actually have quite a few downloads a month. I'm very happy with it, and we're growing every episode. And having amazing people like yourselves on the show, in a little bit different aspect and different circles. Not only hopefully can we help get your word out of what you guys are doing, including a great conversation, but you in turn help us, which I appreciate. Thank you. We could probably go on for another hour, but we need to move on to our next segment, our final segment, which is we don't have any voicemails this time, unfortunately. So I'm sorry, everybody out there, but I'm sure we'll get calls for the next show, I'm hoping. We're going into our What Are Consuming segment. This is a segment where we share with everybody out there the things that we are consuming. Let it be music, TV, an application on your iPad or your phone or something like that. So, Craig, since you actually wrote it out, I'm inviting you to go first.
Well, thanks, man. Well, I just started reading, and I'm pretty interested in this book. I put it down, so I don't remember what it's called. where's my title?
The Food for a Younger Lady.
Yeah, Food of a Younger Land by Mark Gerlansky, and it is he anthologized essays that were written by the Federal Writers Project in the Depression, all about foodways in America in the 1930s. What did people regionally eat? Where did the food come from? And some very significant writers wound up contributing to this, and it was never published. So this guy found this giant trove of archaeology and sociology about foodways, and it's pretty amazing. And I have a new favorite CD of the moment. I'm not sure if it's out yet, but it's coming soon. I'm lucky to get releases. But Megan McCormick's album Honest Words is spectacular. She's playing Music City Roots, by the way, a week from this Wednesday, so I can plug that.
Absolutely.
And I'm also loving Tim O'Brien's Chicken and Egg album. He was on the Roots last week, but Tim O'Brien, one of my longtime favorites, and his new album is typically fabulous.
Craig, is the Music City Roots, is that available as like a podcast or online? Or
you have to listen to it live, but the good news is that as of this coming week, we are live online in streaming HD video. So we are now, you can see it as well as hear it. But it is still a radio program.
Huh. Now, that's on WSM, correct?
The live audio streams at WSMonline.com, and the live video stream is at MusicCityRoots.com.
Very cool.
And I highly recommend going to see it live. Excellent, excellent show. My favorite shows that I've seen this past year, I went to see my friend Will Hogue play there. It was just a great, like, old school Opry kind of atmosphere. Way to go, Craig.
Thank you. We're having a ball. Thanks for the endorsement.
Who would like to go next? Todd, Katie, either of you, or do you need a little bit moment to...
Well, I almost hate to follow Craig, because that's I'd like to be doing what Craig's doing. Unfortunately, I've been knee-deep in a project myself caused by some of the floodwaters of rebuilding the patio. So I've been spending a lot of time reading concrete bags and mortar mix and stuff like that. So and then whenever I'm not busy, I've actually had a pretty heavy dose of analytics over the past 2 weeks of looking through data, some of which we talked about tonight on the jobs front and on the economic development front. So I don't know that I've touched the paperback book for some time. I've got to get back to that this fall.
How about a TV show? Or do you watch any TV?
I watched Mad Men on TiVo not too long ago, so TV's pretty limited right now as well.
Well, the new season just started, I believe, a couple like last week or a couple weeks ago. It's funny. It's a show about advertising, but they really do very little advertising. Well, Katie, what are you consuming?
Okay, well, I know it was going to be cheesy, but okay, I was going to say Mad Men. Love that show. Love it. It's my new favorite thing. Well, my old favorite thing. I've been a fan ever since it's been on the air. I just love the characters. I love character-driven drama, but it's incredible. The books that I have by my bedside table that I still haven't finished, and it's been a little while. I have one, The End of Major Combat Operations by Nick McDonald. He was an embedded reporter in Iraq, and it's just basically a chronicle of his experiences. And then I'm rereading Wondrous Strange, The Life and Art of Glenn Gould, because I'm a pretty big Glenn Gould fan. And I just downloaded the new MIA album, which is awesome, and I highly recommend it.
Very cool. I am a fan of Mad Men as well, so I cannot put that in there since it's already been taken twice. But I'm in love with our favorite secretary, even though she just got married. What I'm consuming, I hate to admit this, though, I'm still reading the same Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter from the last episode. I just haven't had much reading lately. It's been very difficult. I've been trying to do to learn some JavaScript. But my guilty pleasure, which is back on TV, is The Colony on Discovery Channel. Has any of you seen it before or heard of it?
Tell me about it.
It's a fascinating show. It's like a reality show, or it is a reality show, where they take a group of people from diverse backgrounds and put them in a disaster situation. Last year, they were in like a 10-city block of an empty warehouse district. And this season, they're actually in New Orleans. And these people are... in this situation for 90 days, and they're not given any... they're given outside help for the first 6 days, but then they're on their own. Food, shelter, they throw at them situations, what would happen if we were in some kind of disaster and you had to survive for yourself. There's no money, and by the time the show is at the end, these people psychologically think this is like they're in this situation. It's just kind of fascinating to watch this portray. You see them lose probably 20% of their body weight and come out of this thing just... I don't know. I don't think I'd survive if we had a disaster. I'm just saying that.
I don't know, man. That sounds like apocalypse porn to me.
There's no
nudity. Or 40 hydraulic.
But the fascinating thing is that you have to use ingenuity to survive. And, like, the one thing is that they found, in the last episode, they found a truck full of rotting pigs, and they're turning that into fuel. I mean, it's stuff like that. I'm just like, I would have never thought of that. You know? So, well, that wraps up our show. I just have
on
to
on the rotting pigs note.
Thanks. That'll be a good intro. let me just focus, do a few things here. You can find all the show notes at NashvilleTechFeed.com, where you can give us a phone call at 615-280. Hold on, I'm pulling my ringing phones. Oh, I don't know. Can you hear that? I can't. Never mind. I suck tonight. 615-280-0505. You can also send comments at NashvilleFeed.com. We are part of the Nashville Tech Podcasts, TechPodcast.com network. We thank them for letting us be on their feed, and you can go over there and check out a lot of other tech shows. And what ending? Todd, where can we find you online if we choose to?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter, JToddWork. I'd like to say I got my handle from AOL as well, Katie. So we're old timers here on the Tech Council staff here, and then certainly TechnologyCouncil.com. We have a blog posting there as well to keep up with the community.
Excellent, Katie. Where can we find you online? You know where we found?
You can find me on Twitter at CatSuzak. I also have my own blog, katiekirby.net, which I try to write in every once in a while. And I have a little music blog that I write in called Rocks in My Head on Tumblr. You can find me on there, too. And wait, we forgot to tell everybody that we are actually going to be moving our offices to a cool new office space with the Entrepreneur Center at 105 Broadway. This is big news, so... we'll definitely have an open house or an event where everybody can come and check out the new space.
See, I was waiting for you to announce it all the way through the show, and I didn't want to give it away, Katie.
You know, we have so many other interesting things to talk about, but we're really excited about it. The Technology Council has grown, and we found ourselves kind of needing a bigger new space, and the Entrepreneur Center is actually going to have a physical space to be for the first time, so we're excited about partnering with them, and it's just another great new step for the Tech Council.
Excellent. Well, we'll have to do a whole another show on that. We'll bring you back.
I know.
We'll bring you back and your cat, Craig.
Hey, he'll be so excited.
Thank you for co-hosting and stepping in for the appreciative Lucas Hendrickson. Where can we find you online?
I'd say stringtheorymedia.com.
Where I highly recommend anybody out there, if you're looking for an intelligent, wonderful writer, a.k.a. blogger, go check out Craig's writing.
Thanks, Dave. I just put up my first post in 5 weeks yesterday, so.
Well, you'll be posting again when this goes up.
Yeah.
So, and I'm David Baranja. You can find me at NashvilleTechFeed.com, where I try to blog as often as possible and fail as often as Craig's. And I go by MDave on Twitter, and you can also follow the Nashville Feed at Nashville Feed on Twitter. So thank you very much, everybody. And we're going to end the show with a little sound bite so somebody can call in and guess it, and they're going to win a $5 iTunes gift certificate if they call in with the right movie bit. So, thank you very much, everybody.
Who's Steve the Pirate?
The only guy on our team who dresses like a pirate.
Wait, there's a guy on our team dressed like a pirate?